Thank you. Right, it was a start back. It was a couple of months ago, possibly more, when we realised that Mike was away, and we had some dates where we needed to fill in, and people, if they were available, could talk. So I felt when they suggested, I just felt God nudge me and say, "I want you to speak." And I was like, "Okay." So I said, "What about?" He said, "Let me worry about that." So I said, "Okay, I'll do a talk." So they put my name down and went from there. And when I stepped in, first of all, he gave me a thing about the cross and that sort of thing. But having stepped in and spoken to Nigel about it, it changed. So what I've got today, what I'm going to bring to you today, is actually it's becoming an overcomer. Now, a lot of the testimonies this morning have been about overcoming your issues, overcoming struggles, everything like that. But part of that, when I stepped in, God told me was gaining and maintaining a positive spiritual attitude. So it's not just always about your mental attitude, it's also about your spiritual attitude. So bear me, hopefully this will work. Hey, okay, so finding that victory. Why do we need victory in our lives? Now, there's a few sections to this, but first one is, why do we need victory in our lives? How do we achieve that victory? Why are we overcomers? And how do I maintain that victory? So first one, why do we need victory in our lives? Now, all of us pretty much at some point in our lives have struggled with various things, whether it be addiction, the list there, addiction, sickness, poverty, homelessness, stress, violence, trauma. That's just a few of them. I mean, I'm sure many of you can think of many more you've had to deal with. Now, sadly, a lot of us accept it as being an unfortunate part of life. Yes, it happens. However, there is a reason and solution, which I will go into. When we're in those situations, God and Jesus seems far away. He seems distant because we're caught up in that little trap we're in. Even if he exists at all, I mean, for those, there have been some in the past, maybe now, who still struggle to believe in God and Jesus. And how can you believe in a God when all this is happening to me around the world? And around the world, surely God, if he exists, would not allow these atrocities and personal problems to happen. Good questions. Why do these things happen? Well, for those of us who have any sort of experience of the heavenly realms, we've come to realize, actually, they are organized. It's not chaotic, it's not unruly or anything like that. It's not just everything going on at the same time. There is organization. There's organized. There's a system of legal processes in the heavens that are very similar, in a sense, to ours here. The enemy is a legalist. Satan is a legalist. He knows the legal structure back to front, and that is how he catches us out. That is how he traps us. That's how he tricks us, and that's how he how he gains entry into our lives, is by exploiting that legal system against us. He has access, believe it or not, to the courts of heaven, because otherwise how else would the accuser come before God and say, this is what this person or this is what this country is guilty of? Him and his demons, not just him, but his demons as well, also bring the accusations against us. So it can be anybody. Previously, we have had no knowledge of this, partly due to our old-style teachings. In fact, they weren't aware of it, because the stepping-in idea has really come to the fore quite recently, really. So the church in itself has been dead against it for centuries. They believe it to be heretical. It's gaining truth. It's not heretical. We don't suffer or struggle purely through our choice, because God doesn't care, because somehow, somewhere, and sometime, we have given Satan permission to gain access to our lives. Satan has three aims or purposes: to rob, kill, and destroy. To rob us of our destiny, kill us in whichever way he can, if possible, and to destroy the church of God and deceive as many people as possible into believing there is no God and they can do it themselves. Satan originally gained access through tricking us into an agreement. Now, Adam and Eve, if most of us will be familiar with the story, how he tricked Eve into taking the apple, and then she, it went on, Adam took a bite of the apple, and they, you know, it went on to that. So, in actual fact, he did it because he put in their heads, why do you need God? Come on, you can decide to do this yourself. You have the right to know these things, and that's all. So he actually instigated the DIY mentality. Now, you've heard Mike talk a lot about that recently, if you've been here, about do it yourself. This doesn't just go for us and our own issues, but those of our ancestors all the way back. The battle that we fight against Satan is one of his making in order to keep us from God and our destiny. Now, how do I know I'm in a battle? My personal experience is, I suppose the main two I come across is the financial and the health, the eczema. Now, financially, I had debts in the past. I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but I had debts in the past because of irresponsibility with money. My social life was more important than paying the bills, all that sort of thing. I ran up debts. So I got kicked out of the flat I was in. And in a sense, when I became a Christian, I dealt with the debts. I then had to change my way of thinking, where I became a little bit sort of overprotective, not greedy, but overprotective of my money, to the point I was fearful of what, you know, spending the money, or what happens if this happens, what happens if that happens. I had to learn to trust God that his provision was there. So I had to step out, basically, of my comfort zone and sort of say, okay, God's telling me to do this, and everything inside me is saying no, because you can't afford it. I stepped out, and each time God showed me, the money was there. Somehow, miraculously, the finances appeared, or what I was after was brought down to a level where I could afford it. Health, eczema now, many years I suffered very badly, I mean really badly, head to toe pretty much, in severe subacute eczema. I went through various treatments, that sort of thing. I still have it a little bit now, but I'm trusting in God that it will heal. But it got to the point where I started thinking to myself, oh, I'm stuck with it, because no matter what I try, it's still here. I had to trust God. I had to believe. I was getting prayer for healing. I came to revivals. Mike prayed for me. So many people here have prayed for me. And it was, in the end, God said, do you trust me? So I was like, yes, of course. He said, well, just trust me and leave it to me. So I started walking in that healing. I started believing in that healing. And it has, steadily, over time, got a lot better, a lot better. So think about it. Do you have obstacles in your life, or is it all good? Now, be honest with yourselves. I don't think there's many of us who can't say that day to day we don't have struggles. How are you dealing with it, DIY or God? You doing it yourself? Do you respond to these struggles with denial, avoidance, your DIY solutions, or procrastination? Do we let our ego and pride get in the way? Do we think to ourselves, actually, I can do it. I can deal with this. In actual fact, you just put it in a cupboard, shutting the door, and pretending it doesn't exist. Because it does. Because as we all know, sooner or later, that cupboard door bursts open and it all comes out at once. So how do we change this? This is what Jesus... What did Jesus do for me? Jesus was a man like us in most ways. He was human. He walked, he talked. He wasn't a holy spiritual being like God. He was a gift from God, though, to the world. He had a far greater purpose. Jesus' life and death was more significant than just being a story. His whole purpose was to reunite us with God at any cost. Jesus' death wasn't just representative of a sacrifice for mankind, but of a moral and legal victory over Satan and his plans for us. He gained the ultimate victory through making the ultimate sacrifice. However, he didn't do it for his own benefit, but for the benefit of all mankind. He paid our debt. He was selfless. He didn't do it to get the gratitude himself. He did it because God had destined him to do this. He accepted his destiny at knowing what was going to happen. He allowed himself to be wrongfully accused, tortured, beaten, and crucified because he knew that Satan wanted to discredit him in every way and destroy him for God, both on earth and in heaven, in the courts, everywhere, and that this would bring him victory, or so he believed. However, what happens when you bring accusations against an innocent man before a court that already knows the truth? Because what we fear is God already knows the truth. And his truth is he believes that of what Jesus did. He knows what Jesus did. It was his destiny. Jesus died an innocent man so that his blood became the armor and protection that all mankind could receive if and when they accepted them into their lives. Famous quote there from the Bible, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's not merely a part of the process, it's the start of the process. He died because he knew that his innocent blood would be poured out as a new covenant agreement between God and mankind. He took all our sins, sickness, and disease on the cross, and before God, the judge, a judgment in the courts, he accepted that eternal judgment from God after Satan accusing him and basically saying, "Okay, I want to destroy you, and the only way I can do it is I'm going to just throw everything at you." But he took it so that we come before God as his children. When God found Jesus innocent, he was absolved of all accusations and sins. He got the not guilty verdict and therefore claimed legal victory over Satan for all eternity. So life happens. We still struggle. No one's saying that means we're not going to struggle. Life happens. Becoming a Christian doesn't always instantly solve all your problems. What it does give you is access to everything Jesus had access to. Why? Because as a Christian, we are co-heirs with Jesus. So therefore, we have the same rights and abilities as him. It sounds hard to believe, but actually we do. So with the resources available, we can undo the works of the enemy in our lives and in our past through accessing the courts, Libus, ministry, all that side of things. So there are ways when things come up, God has given us the ability through the heavens, through courts, everything like that, to get judgment on it, to seal it, deal with it, and finish with it. So when you surrender to God, now, I know surrender has negative connotations to a lot of people, but you haven't failed. You're merely presenting, this is what God said to me, you're merely presenting a situation too complex for you to deal with alone to someone you know and trust to help you overcome it. We don't have all the answers. It's not possible. We don't have all the answers. God does. Don't let your ego and pride lead you down the wrong path. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We've all been in situations that we can't see a way out of. How have we broken that circle? By admitting we can't do it alone and we need help. I'm sure you guys understand that in a sense, don't you? The only way to overcome is to surrender, is to ask for help, really. It's contrary in its appearance, but holds so much power in its outworking. Most, if not all of us, have lived a life that there are parts we are not proud of. Addiction, greed, violence, manipulation, lust, etc., all forms of sin. Over time, we build up a character basis, and I'm not going to go into detail on that one, formed around our past experiences, lifestyle, and what we choose or are led to believe. That can be through the media, through what people say to us over a period of time. If people say things to you often enough, you start believing them. I know, as my mum used to say as a child all the way through, especially when I was getting a bit rebellious, "You're good for nothing." So I got to the point where I'd turn around and say, "Oh, so if I'm good for nothing, why bother trying? I'll just do what I want to do." It becomes a vicious circle. So how do you break out of that circle? Little animation there, I was bored. Surrender, submit, and start again. Where do we start? We start by admitting we can't do it alone. The DIY method we've employed up till now doesn't work. Surrendering our lives to Jesus is a big step. However, it's not the only time we need to surrender. God is interested in every little detail of our lives. As we grow in our relationship with him, he shows us things in our past or in our ancestors' past, generational, which we can also surrender to him. Now, we can do this through various methods. We've got lie busting, or you've got the courts, you've got all sorts of things, stepping in, actually engaging personally with God, Jesus, all that sort of thing. Day-to-day situation and challenges, that all comes the same. You know, we can step in and actually engage with God and get the answers to what we need. So most of us heard the phrase, giving it to God. It's painless physically, however, we often struggle through pride, traumatic experience, so on. Once we have surrendered the situation to God, we then learn to listen for his words or suggestions. Now, there's various ways he speaks to us, and if he's not speaking to you yet, you can learn how he does. You get a sense of, through experience over time, how he'll speak to you. When we hear what he says to us, we still have a choice. Do we ignore it and go our own way? We know how that ends up. Or do we submit and act upon his words? We go through a process of decision making, which often in itself causes internal conflict. All too often we tie ourselves in knots because we try to search within our past experience and knowledge for the answers for our day-to-day issues or problems. We think about it, we find an answer, we grab onto that answer, and then we start overthinking. We start doubting the answer we came up with, which means we doubt ourselves. This in turn leads to us finding other answers, then onto frustration both with the situation and with us, ourselves as a person. So how can God help me? When we give the situation to God, we take us alone out of the equation. Instead of getting frustrated, we need to stop, step, submit, and start. Stop thinking and striving for an answer that probably at best will only work short term, if at all. Step in and surrender the whole situation to God. Ask him. That's what he wants us to do. He wants a relationship with us. He wants us to come to him and say, I'm stuck. Help me. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I get out of this? Then submit to his will and counsel. That sounds a bit harsh. It sounds a bit old. What it means is just listen to him. Understand what he's trying to say to you. Understand that he loves you. He cares about you. He cares about every little detail of your lives. He'll show you the best way to deal with the situation. And then start acting on this. Start walking. What he says, start activating in it. Start walking in it. And watch as you overcome your situation and your life changes. True victory is achieved through vulnerability. Once you've learned to do this, you will see things change in your life that you'd never thought or imagined could change. Through this process, your mindset changes from self to son. It's okay to surrender and become vulnerable in order to overcome. Jesus gave up his life so that we could gain eternity with God our Father. But he wasn't defeated by any means. When he submitted to the will of God and his destiny, he claimed that legal victory that we now all have access to. So why are we overcomers? We inherited the rights, privileges, and powers that Jesus had because we are co-heirs with Christ. We are his brothers and sisters. The second you recognize and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or the second you do, you become a child of God. With this salvation comes a victory that Jesus won. It becomes our birthright. We are reborn into his kingdom, and therefore we have access to all the resources and advice that Jesus has. It means we can go to the courts, we can ask the angel, we can ask God, we can find out in the vast resources of heaven how to deal with situations. If you need finances for something, you step in and you ask God for the finances. You claim those finances. Through baptism, that was added at the end. Through baptism, we enter into a new life and leave the old life behind in the water. Now, some of the guys who know have been baptized now appreciate what that means, and the rest of us who have been baptized before, we understand as well. So all that follows that we can overcome we can overcome whatever life puts before us. Like anything, it will take time and learning and help. We have to reprogram our way of thinking. We have to renew our minds. See, I've got there, see Mike's teachings online, or there's some declarations on the table over there. When you take communion, read them, because it is about renewing your mind, it's renewing your body. Don't be afraid to surrender in order to overcome your situation. Maintaining that victory. Now, this can be tough for a lot of people because they think once they've got it, they've done it. Now, maintaining, all it is a change up there. It's thinking to yourself, actually, I've won. I've done this. I've dealt with it in the courts. I've got the victory. I've got the papers from the heavenly courts say, Jesus died for me. I've got this victory. I do not need fear. In order to maintain that victory, we need to maintain our mindset. Remaining positive is very important. If you're not naturally positive, then you'll probably put up a barrier right there. Some reasons to be positive are as follows. This is only some, there's loads. We have a Father, God, who is capable of anything. We have a brother, Jesus, who defeated death itself and claimed legal victory in the heavenly courts for us. And we are placed by God's side to rule and subdue the earth and all living things on it. That's just three things. Now, the more you believe, the more you change, you will see, or the more change you will see, sorry, and the more positive you will become, which becomes its own positive circle. Now, hopefully this is going to work. This is just a music video, actually. It's one that I used to play a lot for myself, which helped me. It's about overcoming, but it used to help me emotionally just step in and just understand. Once I play the video, I'm going to give us a chance to actually have an activation where, if you want to do it in your mind, in your heart, you'll be able to take a struggle, day-to-day struggle, whatever it is in your mind, take that struggle before the cross, before Jesus, before God, into the courts, wherever you feel comfortable in doing. We've also put the cross here, and there's some pens and paper down on the ground there. If you feel, if you're more visual, more practical, and you want to do it that way, by all means, write something on a piece of paper. And is there pins there? All right. Just screw it up and put it in the basket for now. So just, you know, however you feel comfortable doing it, please do. But I just want to encourage you to actually step in and actually approach God and just say, okay, God, this is the situation. I need help. Just take it to him. Just try it. So I'll just play this thing. And then once we've done the activation, we'll go into the worship. So yeah, Father, we just step in right now. Father, we just acknowledge you, and we acknowledge your Son Jesus and what he did for us, the sacrifice he made for us, the victory he gained for us in the courts. Father, we just thank you so much. So I just encourage everyone right now just to step in, and however they want to do it, whether pinning on the cross or step into the heavens, just take it before God and just ask for his help. And if you aren't at the stage yet where you have the faith to do that, then, but it has piqued your interest to talk to somebody, discover more about it, because it is the best way. Okay, let's say during worship, by all means, take communion, but the cross is there. If you feel at any time you want to bring something to the cross and pin it to it, or not pin it to it, but just write it down, screw it up, and put it in the basket. Thank you.